Can we all lift up our hands to the Lord this morning?
He is a Savior who is mighty to save us. He is a Savior who is able to make the dead to walk alive. He is a Savior who is able to bring plenty in the place of want. Hallelujah. He is a mighty Savior that we are worshiping this morning. Can we all just lift up our hands to the Lord? Can we just totally surrender before God and say, Lord, You are mighty to save. You are mighty to save even today. Hallelujah. Lord, as we are in Your presence this morning, help us, Father Lord, as we listen to Your word this morning. Speak to our hearts this morning, O Father. Help us to know the truth and let the truth set us free. Let us not go in the bondages that Satan has placed upon our lives this morning. Speak to us, Lord. Open our ears. Open our hearts before You, Father. Bless us. We thank You, Lord, for the offering and the tithes that Your people have given for the Lord. I pray that You bless each and everyone liberally and abundantly, Father, Lord. Take care of all our needs this morning, O Father. We thank You that You are a mighty God. We bless You in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we remain standing, can we turn to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16? We are going to read a couple of verses here. This morning, I am going to start on a new series. We have finished up with the series of Jonah. And as I was praying to the Lord, Lord, what I should speak to the church, the Lord impressed upon me to speak about what a church is all about. And I'm going to be starting from today, God willing, on 7 attributes of a healthy church. We are going to look into 7 attributes of a healthy church. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. And I want to read a few verses from verse 13 to 19 onwards. And after that, I will take you to one more portion that I want to read. But let us read from Matthew chapter 16. Let us all reverentially read before God. Matthew 16 verses 13 to 20. Or 13 to 19. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build My church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Praise God. Can you also turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. Verses 1 to 4. I just want to read this before you can all sit down. 1 John chapter 4. The epistle of John. 1 John chapter 4 and verses 1 to 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and now is already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. 2 different passages I read to you, but one striking similarity is about a confession. The confession of the word of God and the confession of reality of who Jesus is. Praise God. This morning I want to relate these two and start my first topic today. The church as the hope to the world. The church as the only hope to the world. Please be seated in God's presence. During the course of Jesus' travels in his ministry, Jesus called his disciples and said, "Come, follow me." And many of them left everything and followed after Jesus. We have come to a place where Jesus is about to reveal something beyond why they called his disciples. We know that when Jesus called Peter, he said, "Peter, I am going to make you a fisher of men." But what does it mean? Peter did not have any understanding about what he means, "I am going to make you a fisher of men." He called 12 different disciples at various times, got them with him, and started teaching them and training them. And Jesus was being speaking all the time, like sometimes I do in my classes. I speak. I don't ask too many questions. That's my problem. And so I wanted to make it more interactive. In Jesus' case, he spoke so many things to his disciples. And then, when he comes to Caesarea Philippi, Jesus is asking a question to his disciples. A very simple question. Jesus is asking them, "What do other people say that I am? What do they think about me?" We know that Jesus was addressed many times as teacher or rabbi. We know in Nicodemus, when he came to Jesus by night in John chapter 3, he said, "Rabbi, teacher." Jesus was a teacher. Jesus was a healer to somebody. Jesus was a man of mighty miracles. But here, Jesus is asking his disciples, "Who does other people tell about me?" I want to just get some feedback from you. So here it says, they say, they all don't have one opinion, but they have different opinions. Some say you are John the Baptist. Others say you are Elijah. Still others say that you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets. They have differing opinions about you, Jesus. This is what the people outside are thinking about you. And that was entirely correct. Do you know what they said was entirely correct? Let me prove that to you. Turn with me to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And verses 14 to 16. I wanted to prove a point that the disciples were exactly accurate in what they were saying. In Mark chapter 6, it speaks about King Herod hearing about Jesus. He said, "John the Baptist has risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him." The people in his court said, others said it is Elijah, others said it is prophet or one of the prophets, but King Herod totally believed that this is John the Baptist because I killed him, and he was feeling guilty about that. So everybody else has a different opinion about who Jesus is. Today, if you take a mic around and ask, "Who is Jesus?" to the people on the street, they will say he was a good man. He was a mighty man. He was crucified. They have different opinions about who Jesus is. Even people in India, even the Muslims, they all believe Jesus is somebody. They all admit. Because our entire timeline has been divided by the birth of Jesus before Christ and AD. Today we are 2016 years after the birth of Christ. Because AD is the year when Jesus was born. Our timeline has been divided by the birth of Jesus. Nobody can discount who Jesus is. Nobody can say that Jesus was nobody. Or he was not existing. There is no way. Because everything is historically proven, scientifically proven. In fact, there are more evidences about Jesus historically and scientifically than any other person who has lived on this earth. Praise God. Everybody has an opinion about who Jesus is. Some say he is John the Baptist. Some say he is Elijah the prophet who has come back from the dead. He went to heaven but he came back. Some people say he's a prophet because he is saying a lot of words of prophecy. This is the opinion of other people. But here is the crux of the matter, and I want you to understand the gravity of what Jesus is going to ask now. Jesus then turned to his disciples, looked at their eyes, and Jesus asked them a question. Who do you think that I am? What is your opinion about me? All the disciples were silent as they heard the question. In fact, they were dumbfounded. They didn't know how to answer. At that very moment, God gave a revelation to Peter. Peter opened his mouth and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He made a statement that was beyond thinking. How did Peter know that Jesus was the Son of God? And how did Peter know that he was the Christ? Do you know what Peter was saying by that? In the Greek, the word Christ comes from the word called Christos, which means the anointed one. The Hebrew equivalent word of Christ is Messiah, or the Savior of the world. What Peter was confessing was, "Jesus, you are the Son of God. You are the Christ, the Anointed One. You are the Savior of the world. And you are God who has come in flesh and who is living among us." Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You know, how did Peter get that revelation? Jesus tells to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." Jesus tells exactly how Peter got that revelation. He says, "But my Father who is in heaven gave you the revelation." I want the people of God to start thinking about this. Peter got a revelation about who Jesus is. When he spoke about the revelation, then for the first time, Jesus speaks something that is profound that nobody has ever heard before. Jesus says, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah." That is means Simon Bar Jonah means Simon, the son of Jonah. "But you shall be Peter." And then Jesus says, "And upon this rock, I will build my church." Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to be very clear. What did Jesus mean? "I am going to build my church." What did Jesus mean when he said, "Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church"? Many Catholics have misunderstood this word, then they think that the church has been built upon Apostle Peter. And it is said that Peter went to Rome where he was killed, and then the church, the Catholic Church, started from Rome. And that is what the Catholics believe. But if you totally study this word, there is some truth that I want to speak to you. Jesus said, "I am going to build my church." What is church? Is the church a building? Is the church a building? We all refer to church as building, but let me tell you, a church is not a building. A church is not a building. It's a group of believers who have been called by God and who have responded to His call. It's a group of believers. In Greek, the word is called ecclesia, which means called out people. When Jesus said, "You are Peter," his word is called Petra, which means Peter You are a small stone, but upon this rock I will build my church. What Jesus was meaning was, upon this word of revelation that you have revealed to others, that I am Christ, the Son of the living God, I am going to build my church. Amen. The foundation of the church is upon the confession that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is what the church is being built upon. The confession that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and Jesus has come in His flesh for a few years to build the church that was in the plan of God from a long time. In verse number 19, Jesus said to Peter something very astounding. Peter got the privilege. He said, I am going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Do you know that in reality, Peter, when you understand, you buy a new house. Let's imagine. Imagine the church as a house. There is a key to open the front door. And Jesus said to Peter, I am going to give you the keys. Which means Peter is the one who should open the door for the church to open. And that exactly happened as Jesus had prophesied. Because when we come to Acts chapter 2, Peter used the keys to open the doors of the kingdom for the Jewish people, for the people of Israel. He opened the door of the keys of the church on the day of Pentecost, when he declared to the whole world that this Jesus whom you crucified is God Himself. Hallelujah. 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 And then Peter said, you know, in Acts chapter 3 verse 38, he said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promise is for you and for your children and to everyone that the Lord is going to call. So Peter used the keys first to open the door for the Jewish people to enter in. But then that was not enough, because God's plan was not limited to the Jews. God's plan would extend to all the people of the world, even to the Gentiles. So what happens there? When we come to Acts chapter 14 and verse number 27. Acts chapter 14 and verse number 27. Look there. Look to your Bible. I don't want you to look here. Look to your Bible. Acts chapter 14, verse number 27. It says that they gathered the church together, reported all that the Lord has done to them, and he, read that very carefully, he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Who opened the door of faith to the Gentiles? Apostle Peter. Through him he saw a vision about a sheep coming down and unclean animals, and the vision said, Peter, rise up and eat, rise up and eat. And Peter, and then Cornelius comes to his house, and Peter goes with the people who came into the house of Cornelius, who was a heathen person. He was not a Jew. And while he was speaking, the Holy Spirit came upon the people. And God opened the door of the Gentiles to be part of the church that God was planning all along. So God used Peter to open the door to the Jews and also to the Gentiles. It was based upon the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. He has come to redeem us from sin and from death. Praise God. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know it is a little difficult truth to gather, but you, all of you, have to be very clear about What is a church? We all have different denominations, different churches, some mega churches, some small churches, some different, but truly in God's eyes, what is a church? It's a group of believers. I'm not saying Assemblies of God, Church of God, IPC, Sharon, whatever, you can give any name. Doesn't matter. That's all man-made names that people give. But what is truly a church? It's a group of called out believers who have recognized and got the revelation from God that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and He has saved, is the Savior of the world. Praise God. So everyone who confesses that Jesus is the Christ and who obeys that confession through water baptism, they become member of the church. If you have not confessed in your life that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, let me tell you, you are not part of the church. You are not according to God's word. You are a spectator sitting on the bystand and not being part of whom the Lord wants as His church. Some things I want to just mention very quickly as I'm closing here. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone of the church. Ephesians 2 verse 20. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Ephesians 5 verse 23. The apostles and prophets are the foundation blocks of the church. Ephesians 2:20. The Spirit-empowered church began on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 verses 1 to 47. And do you even know that the Old Testament Israelites, they were a shadow of the church. If you turn to Acts chapter 7, verse number 38. This is a part of the sermon that Stephen, before he died, he speaks about the church in the wilderness. Marivumile sabekurcha. Stephanosu parainur bhagamanda. He is speaking about the church in the wilderness. That is a shadow of the church that Jesus Christ was planning to form. So let me come to the key point here. When you turn to 1 John chapter 4, you remember the second passage that we read today? What is 1 John chapter 4 verse 2 says? Can somebody tell me? If you are truly a member of the church, this is what you need to do. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Hallelujah. How many of you can disagree with me? Lift up your hands and praise the Lord. Amen. This is how you know if somebody is part of a church or not. Anybody who confesses that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, is a Savior of the world and has accepted Him in your heart to forgive you of your sin and repented of the sin and decided to start a new life and then obeyed that confession with water baptism, that is the person who is part of the church. And that is a privilege that you get it. Today we are all members of the church. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, Peter says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you all one very, very important question. Praise God. Who do you say is Jesus? God is waiting for us to confess. Who is Jesus in your life? Is He here because your parents are worshipping? Or have you had a revelation from God that He is the Messiah and He has come to this world to save me of my sins? And He has come to redeem us. Is He your Savior? Let me ask you. I want us all to close our eyes for a moment. I want us to think about our life. I don't know when we have accepted Christ, but today, are we genuine in our following after Christ? Because after Jesus revealed in the verses in Matthew, then He speaks about very harder things. He speaks about discipleship. If anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself,
take up his cross and follow him. And then Jesus gets transfigured before his disciples. Three of the disciples show that he is God who has come in the flesh. Let me ask you a question. Is he your savior? Many of you would say, yes, Jesus is my savior. I accepted Jesus in my heart. My next question to you is he the Lord of your life? Is he your master? Are you listening to his direction every day as you walk in this life? If you have accepted him in your heart, you are required to walk with him. Follow his footsteps. Hear his word in your heart. And live each day as if that day is the last day on your life. Imagine you have been told, you get a revelation, tomorrow you are going to die. What are you going to do today? Think about it. We have to live as if, Lord, today is my last day upon this earth. I don't have a tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow what it's going to bring. But today I have. I'm going to live for you, Lord. Hallelujah. Can you please close your eyes and understand, are you fulfilling the purposes why God has called you? We all have a purpose and a role to fulfill. When Jesus has called us, he called different people. Every disciple, every apostle of Jesus was different. Today you are all different with different talents, different capabilities, different ways how you can serve God. We are like a body. Some are the hands, some are the feet, some are the heart, some are other organs of the body. We are all different members of one body. Jesus Christ is the head of the body. He is the head. He is the controlling. The head controls the body. The body does not control the head. There has to be a communication from the head to every member of the body that every member will move accordingly. The hand will not say, I want to be the feet. The feet will not say, I want to be the eyes. The nose will not say, I want to be the mouth. Everyone has a role and a place that God has put you within his church. And today let me declare to you, the church is the hope of this world. This world does not have any other hope than what the church can give to the world. Amen. What you can give to others. This world does not have a hope. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Shakat halari bibi khodish. Khudili shigad halari babike. I feel the anointing over me as I am speaking this word today. Like Peter, only those who have the true revelation from God about who Jesus is can be a part of God's mystery and revelation, which is the church in his existence today. We need to have a fresh revelation about who Jesus is and what he can do for you. Many times we are like beggars, begging. We are the children of God. God has given us privileges. God has given us his word and the promises that we can use them to do greater things in the kingdom of God. Today we are the eyes, the hands and the feet of Jesus in the world. We are the visible embodiment of the invisible God who is seated on the throne today. We are the ambassadors of Christ in this world today. Do you know? Do we understand our role? We are not a nobody. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Can you ask yourself a question? Am I fulfilling my purpose in the church faithfully? Just imagine if one hand does not work, the whole body cannot function to the full extent. We all have to work in one unity. Are we the salt and light in our world today? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before other people that they may glorify your God through your good works that you are doing it. Let others see our good works. Let others see Jesus in our lives. Let others glorify God because of what they see through us. Let us be fruitful and effective instruments of God each and every day of our lives. Let me challenge you today as I'm closing here. Have you received a revelation that Jesus is the Messiah? He is the Lord. He has called me. He has joined me with a body of His children, that I will not be a stumbling block. I will be a stepping stone for the work of God, for expanding the kingdom of God, for serving the Lord in the capacity that God has put me here. We all are serving God, my beloved brothers and sisters. Nobody is higher, nobody is lower. We are all serving God as being members of the body of Christ. God needs each and every one of us. We are not an isolated person doing our own thing. We have to be tied up and integrated with the church. That as a church body, we will reach out to the lost. We will heal the sick. We will proclaim liberty to the captives. We will freely we have received, and freely we will give to other people. Glory to God. How many of you feel that I want to be used by God this morning? I want you to stand up on your feet if you believe. I want to be used by God as a member, an effective member of His kingdom. As a member, effective member of His body. Can you stand up on your feet? Declare your allegiance to God and say, Lord, I believe, Lord. I believe that You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. 2,000 years ago, You came down to this world. You came down, and the reason You came down is You wanted to die. You wanted to give Yourself as a punishment for my sins, Lord. You are my Savior. And today I want You to make You the Lord of my life. Can you make that decision? If so, lift up your hands in surrender before God. Can you lift up your hands? Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed in the presence of God. Say, lift up. Lord, I want to live for You. Lord, I want to live for You. I want to walk every day, Father, Lord, in the footsteps that You have shown me. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll be one somewhere for my Lord. I'll be working somewhere. I'll be working somewhere. I'll be working somewhere for my Lord. I'll be working somewhere. I'll be working somewhere. I'll be working somewhere for my Lord. Together, can we sing together? Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll be working for my Lord. I'll be somewhere working, I will somewhere. Working, I'll be somewhere. Working for my Lord. I'll be somewhere. Working, I'll be somewhere. Working, I'll be somewhere. Working for my Lord.